This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds. And find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
It's trade deadline week in the NHL, so how will that affect the NHL betting market? Let's break it all down. It's time for another NHL Action Network collaboration. Nick Alberga and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, Nick? Bet365, always delivering the great odds here, and we're looking at a lot of make-miss playoff scenarios here. You know, the clock is ticking on some of these teams. We'll look at who's favored to make it and which teams present good value to jump back into contention.
Lots to uncover for sure as you bring in the one and only Tim Kalinowski. Timmy K, what's going on, my man?
How you doing, boys? Great to be here on deadline week. I thought you'd be bringing in the big guns, but apparently that's myself, I guess. I mean, I moved up quickly. I'm now basically kind of a first-line right winger here, can kind of fill a depth role, play up and down your lineup if you need me to.
Timmy, let's hope you're not Vladimir Tarasenko from last year's deadline, or Patrick Kane for that matter. We need some glue guys on this podcast. And speaking of which, deadline week, do you handle it any differently from a betting point of view? I tend to, because I know teams pull players this time of year from their rosters.
Well, it's really interesting. I did kind of a dive on Dallas, and I happened to be doing a dive on them last week. As the Tanev deal was going down, I looked on Bet365 and Dallas was 11-1 on the day before they traded for Tanev. They get Tanev and they move to 10-1. And it's like, you know, not that big of a jump. I think that a lot of us in the, you know, I guess media betting circles, we just tend to overrate these things a little more than the actual odds say. So you see Dallas at 11-1 pre-Tanev. A couple things could have been baked into that. One, maybe that number had something baked into it that was, we expect Dallas to make a move for a defenseman. Maybe that moved to 10-1 because they were getting ready for all the people that were just going to blindly open their Bet365 app and go play the Dallas Stars. Maybe they got a lot of money on the Stars after the trade and decided to move it a tick. So I think just diagnosing why things are moving and why they aren't is one of the biggest or the best ways to approach this. If you can't explain why a line is moving, then, you know, it's probably not something you want to really throw actual money on, right? I think Dallas is kind of indicative of what we're going to see a lot of teams here. We tend to overrate and underrate this. I mean, just ask the Calgary Flames. What the hell?
So for Dallas to win the President's Trophy is a little longer, plus 1,200. And I think that that's certainly possible. I would look at one of these Dallas angles, whether it's the Cup or the President's Trophy. You could also get plus 500 on them to win the West in the playoffs if you think they're going to, you know, come out of the West and maybe lose to whoever they play in the East in the Cup final, which is always something to consider. It's a long, grueling road to win the Stanley Cup ultimately. But yeah, I think this is just a move that is going to really equip them so much better than they were last year, where they were really an injury away from bowing out even in the first round of last year's playoffs.
I mean, I really like Dallas. I don't know. The President's Trophy isn't a bad look. I just don't know how many angles there are at this point. But it's always like Lieboff always mentions this. By the time we're talking about them, it might be too late. So Dallas is a team for me that I'm just excited to play, you know, betting on them in a series in the playoffs and just kind of roll it over and go from there. I mean, could be just my mistake for having a lot already tied up into the futures market and being a little reluctant to add into that. But if someone doesn't have the situation I do and wants to play some Dallas, however which way, I really don't mind it. I like them a lot in terms of complete teams. I think it's kind of them in Florida, to be honest.
Yeah, there's, I would say on top of that, there's some sneaky teams around the NHL right now, namely in the Central Division, a big topic of conversation and focus on today's podcast. You look at the Nashville Predators have been a betting paradise the last couple of weeks ever since Andrew Brunette canceled the U2 show at the Sphere. They've won 8 in a row. Timmy, look at this week. They got Montreal at home. They got Buffalo at home, at Columbus, at Minnesota. This win streak could get to 10 games, if you can believe it.
It can, and it's funny enough, I went to the Sphere a couple weeks ago when I was in Vegas for Super Bowl weekend. I came back from the Sphere, and I haven't won a bet since. So maybe Andrew Brunette was on to something with don't go to the Sphere. Maybe I should have punished myself and said, don't go there. You got to turn it around. But this Nashville team, I think that we were us on the podcast on Line Change, we're like, you know, they have some bark to them. But I think one thing about Nashville that people aren't really understanding is that Brunette style is, you know, they can score and they play kind of a, you know, a high variance type game, go up and down the ice. I think a lot of times I've actually been targeting Nashville overs just, you know, in games throughout this run here, because I think a lot of people look at Nashville and they still think it's a Barry Trotz Nashville team and they expect them to maybe be priced like that. And then they go, oh, well, what the hell is a 6.5 doing with the Trotz team? This is totally different than a Barry Trotz team. So even if those numbers, you don't really want to lay it with Nashville, I would look at some overs there because they tend to be a team that will let up a fair amount of chances, but they fully have the ability to score as well.
And if you think this is fool's gold for Nashville, you can get plus 180 on them to miss the playoffs at this point. They're favored at plus 230 on Bet365 to make. So a lot has changed, you know, ahead of all these other teams in the pecking order like Seattle, St. Louis, Calgary, Minnesota at the moment for that team, Nashville. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch down the stretch. I think that the Central Division overall, I find myself gravitating towards two teams. I don't think Colorado is complete enough to win the cup, but I could see, especially if they play each other in the first round, Winnipeg or Dallas, the winner of that, you know, going on to make a deep run. So right now you can get odds actually on Bet365 for the Central Division winner to come to win the cup at plus 280. That's an interesting angle for me.
That is, I would say too, funny thing about Nashville is if you look, I always think to myself, if I was an NHL GM, you know, how would I go about it? And I, you know, the one thing I like to do as much as watch hockey is bet. And I would look at the betting odds for my team. Like Nashville, we were thinking they could be sellers a week or two ago. Now all of a sudden you say they're plus money to miss the playoffs. Like, how do you not look at that team and say, well, you know, if I'm on the staff there and the analytics crew in Nashville, I'm like, well, now we're favored to make this thing. And all we need is a ticket to the dance. If we avoid, you know, if we can just get a good matchup in the first round, like anything can happen. I just think it's funny that if you just look at the odds, guys, like, you know, they're getting in.
Tim, there has to be that mentality this year. Maybe it's because of a recency thing, but what Vegas did last year, just get in and you just never know what can transpire in the Stanley Cup playoffs. A team that's not going to get in, Tim, who I actually like moving forward from a betting point of view, and they were in the conversation for the first half, certainly not anymore, the Arizona Coyotes. So since dropping 14 in a row, they've won back-to-back games. I actually think there's a lot of value over, you know, with this team over the next couple weeks. I know Keller's out. Logan Cooley's been better as of late, but I think teams are going to sleep on them down the stretch here.
Well, I was hoping teams would be sleeping on the Coyotes all season. We were really high on them on our pod, you know, make the playoffs over their point totals. It's just, the thing is for them, everything kind of had to go perfect, right? And they got good goaltending. And then when they stopped getting great goaltending, that's when things really started to slip for them. It's funny, they on Tuesday night, they're a, you know, plus 190-ish dog, the Blackhawks are a plus 190-ish dog playing the Coyotes. And I think I just look at that quickly, like, is the difference between those two teams that big? Like, you know, a team that can lose that many games in a row, is it really that big? I don't know. I think I might take a flyer on the Blackhawks. I do love the Coyotes, but I have to separate my wallet from my heart in this situation.
Tim, there's not that much going on in the awards market these days other than the Hart Trophy, but I know producer Bobby was throwing out a long shot of Brunette for Coach of the Year if Nashville keeps this thing going. I don't know that that's going to happen, but maybe a prayer on that angle. There's also Joseph Wall came back from injury, plus 6,600, ninth on the Calder Trophy odds board. That might be the only feasible thing where if he takes over as number one because of the Toronto market, it's just something I could envision. If Chicago with Bedard, that's a bad, bad team. What if he has a stretch of, you know, eight games without a point or something like that, or they go on a 10-game losing streak? You could at least envision that type of scenario. Which long shot are you looking at out there?
I'll tell you what I envision. I envision people looking at that ballot and saying, wait, Wohl can win this award? Like, I think a lot of people reach out because all we've talked about is just Bedard all season long. I mean, I took a lot of flyers, and it seems just like the sentiment is going to be Bedard no matter what. But I want to bring up something with the Hart Trophy. And I sincerely believe, like, as asinine as it may sound, that the Kucherov All-Star game thing could fully have an impact on voters. Like, if you yes. are not, if you are not putting that into your handicap, it does not matter what you, you know, Pete, Nick, and me think about Kucherov and the Hart Trophy. It matters what the other people, the writers who were all dragged to Toronto to watch this guy mail it in for the skills competition, what they think of Kucherov and the Hart race. If you were discounting that, I think you're wrong. I think it fully is a factor.
You must have missed last week's podcast. We brought it up. No. The narrative, I totally agree with you, man. The narrative around that is A, Kucherov's won the Hart Trophy already, and B, that whole episode at All-Star Weekend, and we know the folks who are betting on this or voting on this award, hopefully not betting on it. To me, I think it's going to be MacKinnon or Matthews or Kucherov, the way he's been playing. You just can never count him out, but I think it's more likely than not it's going to be Matthews if he gets to 70, or it's going to be MacKinnon if he continues along this pace. Because I'm with you, Timmy. I think that's going to not do well for the futures appeal when it comes to Kucherov winning this award again.
Yeah, it's bizarre, but it feels like it could be the truth. Again, you're handicapping what other people think, not what you think. Kucherov could be your MVP, but might not be somebody else's.
Yeah, very, very true. I want to get your thoughts here on the Detroit Red Wings just coming out as we do this show. Dylan Larkin out 2 weeks with a lower body injury. Will that impact how you bet Detroit? Because I'll be the first to admit my fantasy trade deadline was last week. I picked up Patrick Kane, knowing full well that Detroit could go in a swoon and likely maybe even miss the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think you can't get too high. You can't get too low from a betting point of view as well. How will you attack Detroit over the next couple of weeks?
I mean, this is a big, big week for Detroit. I actually listed three teams before I got on here that was a big week for them. I missed Detroit. Count them as the fourth team. At Colorado Wednesday, Arizona and Vegas. I was someone who wasn't high on Detroit, even during the winning streak. I was definitely buying into that narrative of, you know, they had X amount of wins in X amount of games, but they were continuing to get outshot. And that matters when, like, you can't watch every game, right? So you have to rely on the underlying numbers in some aspect. And they were not liking the Detroit Red Wings for over a month now, even though they were playing well. So this is a big week for them. I'll probably be looking to fade them depending on the price. And that really doesn't have as much to do with Larkin as it does just what I think of that team. I think that they are a hanging by the skin of their teeth into the playoffs type team, and it's going to come down to the last day or so. I don't think it's going to be easy for them at all.
Have you ever put together like a parlay with a team like this late in the season that you think is going to, maybe that's at plus money that you think is going to make the playoffs, and then combine with the team that you think is going to fall out? Like, just for example, off this conversation, the Islanders beat the Red Wings last week. You could get, you know, I think it's like plus 150 on the Islanders to make it, and then plus 225 on the Red Wings to miss it in light of this Larkin news. It's just an interesting angle. Curious if you've ever done something like that.
I haven't. I've actually was talking to Nick about it a week or two ago. I was saying that if you wanted Matthews for the Hart, why wouldn't you just bet him to score every game for the rest of the season? Just blindly bet it, because basically his path to win it is 70. So I was saying, you know, there's this many games left with this many goals. Just go bet him instead of having, you know, whatever, $50 tied up in the Hart market. Why not just do that? So I feel that way about the parlay. Like, instead of just having that tied up in the parlay, I would just basically like be betting those teams every single night, and eventually, you know, the pendulum is going to swing the way you want it to. So I'm someone who likes to have some change every single night and not tie it up in a futures market, but I don't blame you. It's not a horrendous idea. You tell me parlay, my ears perk up.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall at the Action Network, man, those combos must be something. Probably the same feeling or lack thereof with New Jersey right now. Just absolute frauds. I've been saying this all season long. They just kill me. I'm never betting on them again, by the way. Drop 5 of 7. I just come to the realization, guys, they're just not a good team. And that's the way I'm going to bet down the stretch when you look at this team. They got Tuesday, Florida, Thursday, St. Louis, Saturday, Carolina. Tim, is this team real or not?
They're not real. I'm going to jump in for Tim. I dunned them. I goodnighted the New Jersey Devils after they lost to the Anaheim Ducks. That was it for me. I know the goalie stood on his head, Tim, but... And then to follow it up again with just a total clunker against the Kings, the Devils are done in my mind.
put this in perspective. This last Wednesday, when I was looking at the Devils, they were at Bet365, something around plus 125, plus 135 to make the playoffs. And the Flyers were slight favorites to make the playoffs, minus 115 or so. So it was basically game on between those two teams. And then Philly's cup odds were 40 to 1, and New Jersey's cup odds were 30 to 1. So what that was telling me is if New Jersey just gets in, you know, the odds makers like New Jersey better than Philly, which isn't saying much. But if you're, you know, Fitzgerald here and you're like, guys, we just need to get in and we have the best odds of any team outside the playoffs to win the Stanley Cup. Like, imagine saying that, like, we are the best non-playoff team. A week goes by and it's dud after dud after dud. And, you know, now they're plus three something to make the playoffs. And, you know, their Stanley Cup odds have fallen over. So that's just what I'm saying. This last week, they've just continued to have chance after chance after chance. And at this point, they don't deserve a save. Do they need a save? Yes, but they don't deserve a save. They have been absolutely abysmal. I mean, if they're going to fire Lindy, why have him hang around to play out the stretch? Makes no sense to me. It's pretty obvious he's not coming back next season. So, and again, I think he's a great guy. I have nothing bad to say about him, but why not just fire him and start moving on now if that's the case? Like, it's just a joke.
I also want to hear how you feel about the Boston Bruins. I know you're from that neck of the woods and you're dialed into that team. They're currently eighth on the odds board to win the Stanley Cup, plus 1050. They're struggling right now, 3-3-5 during a recent slide. And during that stretch, Timmy, they are scoring only the fourth fewest goals per game in the entire NHL. Is this a reason to be concerned, or are they going to address this at the deadline and is now a good time to buy low on them?
Well, you know, you heard this morning with, you know, Elliot and Jeff saying that it'd be a hockey trade, and that's kind of what it would sound like because they don't have a ton of assets or valuable assets. Mm-hmm. Look, my friends call me a Bruins hater. I just say, look, I just look at it as a practical standpoint. They're not deep enough at center ice. And it's what actually buried them last year with Bergeron and Krejci. They just weren't durable enough to go on, you know, with that remarkable regular season they had into the playoffs, and they got eaten alive by Florida. It's the same story this year. The middle of the ice, like, Charlie Coyle has been a great story, and he has stepped up, and he should get kudos for all that. But if your number one set, if you're going into a playoff series and your number one is Coyle and then Zacha, and then you go play Florida with Barkov and Bennett, you go play Toronto with Matthews and say Tavares or Domi, like, they do not match up 1-2 middle of the ice with really anyone in the Eastern Conference. And I think it's a major red flag. They've relied far too much on Pastrnak to bail them out and the goaltending, which again is a great formula for the regular season, but not necessarily for the playoffs. That's a lot of hoping and praying that things go your way. If they make a move, I'll feel a little bit better about them, but I am going to be betting against them the first round, regardless of who they play. I don't think it's enough, guys.
Bring in the heat today, Tim. We love it. What's your feel on the playoff race in the Eastern Conference? I actually, believe it or not, believe in the New York Islanders to make a monster run here. I mean, we'll see if the pathway is long enough, but I'm still maybe in the community, and it's dwindling by the day, where I have to think Philadelphia is going to take a step back at some point in time. Like, Sean Walker's name's out there, Nick Seeler's name's out there, but then they win. It's like, it makes no sense to me, but the Islanders in Philadelphia, I know you wanted to touch on those two teams specifically.
Yeah, the Flyers, I mean, full credit to Tortorella. Like, I was saying a lot this year that they are about as good of a bet for a full-on, honest, regular season effort every single night, which makes it so challenging to kind of predict their downfall, because they're not going to go away easy, right? They're not just going to, keel over. The problem is a net for them. I think that's what's really, really sunk them here since the All-Star break. I have such a hard time fading them because, again, for all those reasons, but, you know, I'm brainwashed by Leboff for the New York Islanders. I am completely brainwashed. The whole Patty Waugh thing, Matt Barzal looks like Wayne Gretzky. My gut tells me that the Islanders are going to sneak in over the Philadelphia Flyers, but my eyes from the, you know, what we've seen to this point is just like, I don't think, I think the Flyers are going to do just enough, like just 1 point every, it's a seesaw for them. And I think that it's going to be like one of those situations in basketball, whoever has the last shot wins, like it's going to come down to that last day of the season. Someone forced the game to overtime. Maybe the Islanders tragically, you know, blow a lead like that. And we'd be like, oh, well, that was the story all season, guys. Why didn't we see that coming?
Well, they got their first empty net goal of the season. I know producer Bobby noted that. I mean, that is incredibly bad that that hasn't happened with all the times they've been leading games. But hopefully for their sake, a turn for the better and a turning point for sure. I think like when you look at the center depth too of the Islanders, that's a team that has three good centers. And like you were saying, Boston, I mean, that could be a first round matchup too. Florida, as good as they've been, Boston's only a couple points behind them. So if the Islanders sneak in like they have been in years past, they could be dangerous from a futures lens too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people too, just to go back to Boston again, like we all love to dump on the Leafs back end, right? It's been a story for years. Like, oh, you know, it's just the core four. They don't defend well, this and that. I would argue that this Leafs team had, in terms of team defense, has played as good of team defense for the Leafs than we've seen in, you know, a little while. Like in Boston has bigger names on their blue line, but as a team to a man, they have not defended as well as Toronto. And, you know, Nick, I would be interested to see what your thoughts on this, because I know it's been kind of a cluster back there, but the Leafs have got it done and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, they do. It's, you know, whether coincidence or not, since the Morgan Riley suspension, they've won 9 of 10 games. They're calling it a turning point, a galvanizing moment, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's been a much different looking Leafs team. I'm just very curious to see if they add at least one more defenseman. I think there's been buy-in. They're blocking shots. Like, it's a different feel, but I've never really changed my focus on the Leafs. Like, the regular season does not matter. I've been consistent in saying that since day one for X amount of years. I know they had their ups and downs this year. It's the postseason. Are they gonna figure it out in the postseason? Since we're on that topic, you got a feel on that Leafs Bruins game? I think I'm looking at the under in that one.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards Toronto. To be honest, I'll be in the building on Thursday for when that rematch happens. So I'm excited for that, but it's a really big week for Boston. You go Toronto, Edmonton, and Toronto again. So we're going to learn a lot about that, this Bruins team, in the same way, Nick, and I agree. I'm in agreement with you that the Leafs are at a point where they need to take the final exam. We already know that they can get straight A's during the regular year, right? During grade school or whatever. They need to take the SATs. So we're just waiting on that. It needs to be the playoffs. But the Bruins, we could learn a little bit about them if they go on a Leaf-like stretch here where their back end is better and they take care of business. So I don't mind the underplay there. I just worry with there's too many talented goal scorers on the ice. I don't want to see Nylander off the bar and then Pastrnak follows it up. I go, what kind of an idiot am I thinking this was going to go under?
You got any other spots for this week in terms of individual games or player props? For props, I was looking at Brandon Montour has been really hot. You could roll him against the Rangers, 13 points in his past 7 games, maybe even to score a goal. And also, I think Jack Eichel would probably score a goal against Columbus if he does come back on Monday night. It sounds like that's pretty likely as of right now.
Yeah, Vegas is so interesting right now. I mean, we continue to, at least me, I continue to price them and bet them like they're, you know, the Stanley Cup Vegas Golden Knights, because I'm just kind of terrified to have egg on my face if I go the other way. But in terms of this week, again, I'm going to point back to that Chicago Blackhawks spot. I know it's not a great spot for them. Blackhawks can be back to back, but I'm going to take them as a, you know, pretty big plus money dog against the Arizona Coyotes. Coyotes could be at a spot where they just went, yeah, we finally got a win. We're finally back. And I would say Chicago. It's funny. They cover like the effort spread every night. If we had like a 10-point spread, like we do in football, I think that the Blackhawks would cover it more often than not, but that's not really how hockey works. So, I think that the Blackhawks, they're deserving of better results. They hang in there. They just don't have enough pieces.
I'll be frank with you guys. They're on my do not watch list. I don't care if Connor Bedard's on that team. I just cannot watch Chicago. I can't name a player outside Connor Bedard on that Hawks roster. It's scary. And Macklin Celebrini maybe will be on that roster moving forward. I mentioned on the NHL Fantasy Nice podcast a couple looks I like. I like Vegas in regulation in Columbus. I do forecast the return of Jack Eichel in that game. End of a 5-game road trip. I love the response angle. They were blasted by Buffalo 7-2 over the weekend. And the Kevin Hayes game, his return to Philadelphia, play with the Flyers last year, of course, the whole Cutter Gauthier situation. I'd play some Kevin Hayes props there. I like playing, you know, the revenge angles, you know, Timmy.
I was thinking about that today, actually, that revenge spot, but I must be slow on this Monday because I never connected the dots of I should then bet on him, but it was certainly in the back of my mind. So I think I'll join you there, and I'll just add for Tuesday as well. I'm going to take Edmonton at Boston as a short favorite here. You know, Boston, maybe for them, these Leafs games matter more than Edmonton. I think it's really challenging for Boston to get out of this unscathed, this little stretch here. And while we're here as well, we mentioned the New York Islanders. We've been talking about the St. Louis Blues. Back-to-back for St. Louis. After Philly, they go at the New York Islanders. The Islanders, we look probably looking to bet the Islanders in this game, but the Islanders, I would tell you, just, you know, without any data, any numbers to back this up, the Islanders are the worst team in the NHL when the other team is in a bad spot. The Islanders never take care of business when the other team is in a bad spot. So I will be, you know, on the Islanders and then pointing to that stat that I have no actual metric for when they lose.
One other storyline, Nick, that I wanted to mention, because we didn't talk about it on the fantasy show, but Elias Pettersson signed that 8-year contract. And the timing comes at a good time, probably because they've been struggling, right, in recent weeks, 2 wins in their past 8 games. I'm not, you know, looking to bet on them here necessarily. I just want to see how they respond now that this news is done. I'm not interested in that team from a future standpoint, but it might tell you a little bit about whether there'll be a first round exit, how they play here in the next week or so.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I have Vancouver from the preseason 75-1 to win the Stanley Cup. So I'll tell you how it's going to go down. It's going to be a first round sweep. And I'm going to be going, great. This ticket's awesome. Can I get any trade in value on this?
Man, I know that people in Vancouver hate to hear it, but they're this year's New Jersey Devils. Like, you've been a nice, sexy story, but I just can't get behind the narrative that they're somehow going to click. Everything's going to come together. They got Phil Kessel in the conversation. I think they're just doing way too much in Vancouver. It's the ebbs and flows of a season. And every time I see them now, betting wise, it's just the price is so juiced that you almost have to fade them sometimes. But I think they're a good team. I just think you have to take your lumps. You have to take your punches in the face sometimes, Tim, in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Look, here's the one thing about Vancouver that would go against what you just said. And I tend to originally agree with you. Goaltending. They have Demko, which in this NHL, with this market and this season, having a reliable goaltender is, you know, about as good as it gets. It's like having gold bars. This league has no goalies. So the fact that they have a goalie makes them, you know, to me, somewhat legit.
It's a bit of a swoon for Vancouver. I had to hang on for dear life. Their number was juiced against Anaheim, right? And I had them in a little.
They didn't play good.
I had them in a little UConn Boston Celtics little parlay action, and I was hanging on for dear life late night there. But that West is such a gauntlet too. Like, and there's teams like you said, Nick. There are teams in that gauntlet that have gone through the bumps and bruises, and Vancouver just hasn't. And, you know, you look at a team like Edmonton, I would take Edmonton over Vancouver any day of the week.
Sure.
My two Monday plays, Seattle Kraken plus money on the road against Calgary. And I love the Florida Panthers at MSG tonight. I think this New York Rangers team flying a little too close to the sun. Best team in the NHL coming into town. I like the Panthers tonight.
Bob, I'm terrified how in agreement I am with you on both of those. So, and I will say, It never ends well when you have the last leg of a parlay and it's a far superior team playing late into the morning against Anaheim or San Jose. Never ends well.
Somehow it ended well last night, so I'll take it. But it was looking dicey there for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I hear you guys. I mean, that's always the big problem. Timmy, what's going on at the Action Network this week?
Oh, we got a lot. I mean, it's trade deadline. We're, you know, college hoops going on. It's like, this is when it's funny, right? A lot of us football people, we're all together during the fall, and then we go our separate ways in the winter for hoops and NHL, and then we're back together again for March Madness. But, you know, us little guys over here with the NHL, right? It's just us in our circle, Leboff, Nick, and I just sitting here, you know, betting the slate every single night. And people, trade deadline's coming up. It's like, wake up. It's a pretty big story.
Well, Tim, this is just from me to you. I'd rather just tell you now on the podcast rather than text it. I'll take the Baylor Texas under 145 or so, I think you can get. I'll take that tonight for my college hoops play of the day. And Alberga can attest, I've been red hot in the hoops. Red hot in the hoops.
He has been pistol hot. Timmy, Pete, marvelous job, guys. We'll talk soon, okay?
Seattle, Florida, Baylor under, parlay it. Have a good Monday night.
Okay, many thanks to producer Bob Bender, for Pete Jensen and Tim Kalinowski. I'm Nick Alberga. This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
It's never ordinary at Bet365.